I was going to share something else, but I'm going to share something that the Lord was dealing with me about real quick. Anybody else got any, got another testimony or anything that you want to share? Clyde.
Pastor, I was just thinking that actually God confirms His word by doing that. His word in James says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Yes.
He heard from God. He stayed with it. And He did not bring forth wrath.
Yeah.
He gave a soft answer, to be honest. And what's a soft answer do? Turns away wrath.
Yeah. You know, like anybody else, praise the Lord. You know, I was originally going to share a different word with you today than what I felt like the Lord gave me here, but I'm going to go back to the original word that the Lord gave me. And what the scripture that He had me looking at was called the disobedient prophet. And you know, God sent this prophet to Rehoboam. And Rehoboam was Solomon's son. And, you know, Rehoboam was going to be the next king of Israel. And, you know, Solomon in his old age, I was going to say this in Sunday school and I didn't, because a lot of times we were just joking about, you know, husbands trying to get along with their wives, you know. We were kind of going back and forth a little bit in there. And, you know, in Deuteronomy, the Lord spoke to them and said, when you come into the land, and this is basically, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this, and you reject me as king, is what He basically said. He said, see that your king doesn't take to himself wives and horses. And, you know, Solomon in his old age, he had 700 wives. And he had 300 concubines, 300, ladies that he was having an affair with. That's because that's really what a concubine is. So he had 1,000 women. Now, don't get me wrong, I love women, and I love Margaret, and I try to get along with Margaret as best I can most of the time, and we don't always see eye to eye on everything. She'll tell me, she'll say, well, I don't know why you ask my opinion. You never do what I tell you. I said, I have to do what the Lord tells me to do. I said, but I value your opinion above anybody else's opinion, you know. And I cannot imagine Solomon having 700 wives and 300 concubines. Put 700 women together and see if they are in agreement on anything. I mean, put 700 people together in general and see if they're in agreement on anything. But you know, anyway, it tells you in the scriptures that in his old age, they caused him to deviate away from the Lord. And when they caused him to deviate away from the Lord, he began to set up idols of each one of their religions, of the places where they had come from. And God was not pleased with that. And basically, the Lord sent a prophet to prophesy, and he told Solomon that he was going to begin to take the kingdom away from him. He said, but because of your father David, I'm not going to do it while you're alive. And then Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son and he became the king, Rehoboam was, he sought the counsel of the older, wiser men in you know that David had used for counsel, and they told him, they said, your father Solomon was very hard on the people, and you know they built a lot of things in the day of Solomon. They built the temple, and they had gold and silver piled up literally in city dumps. They had so much of it. But you know, he got most of that gold and silver from taxing the people and from other places, you know. And God also, back in Deuteronomy, told them not to lay up for themselves gold and silver. So they did a lot of things that God had told them in the law not to do. But anyway, when Solomon died, and they brought Rehoboam, and he sought the counsel of the older wise men, and then he sought the counsel of the younger guys. And the younger guys told him, they said, well, you know, we think that you should be really harder on the people and make them really toe the mark. And he took the counsel of the young men instead of the counsel of the older, wiser men. And when he took that counsel, what ended up happening, he told them in 3 days he'd come back and give them an answer, because they basically told him in front of the people, they said, if you'll lighten up on the people, they'll serve you, and you know, you'll have a tremendous kingdom, basically. And he didn't take that counsel. In 3 days he came back and he told them, and this is the word, this sounds a little rough what I'm going to say to you. He said, my little finger is going to be heavier on you than my father's loins were. In other words, he was going to be really hard on them. Well, you know what they did? They rejected him. And Jeroboam was a servant in that kingdom. And the people of Israel took Jeroboam and made him king over Israel. And Rehoboam only ended up being king over Judah. So they were split. And that was all basically, you know, God had really prophesied that he was going to take that kingdom down, and he did. But he had sent a prophet to Jeroboam, and when he went to Jeroboam, he took a garment and he tore it into 12 pieces. And he basically told him that he gave him 10 of them, and he kept the one apart. And he said, you know, you're going to be king over Israel, and the one, Judah, is going to stay with them, basically what he said. Well, then what ended up happening was the Lord, because Rehoboam did not tear down the altars that his father had built through those ladies, you know, that he was married to, because he did not tear down those altars and return to the Lord, he basically sent a prophet and told this prophet to go and to prophesy to him. And when he prophesied to him, he told him that that altar was going to be split in half that was there, and all this kind of stuff. And it happened just like he said. But what God said to that prophet was, he said, I want you to go, but I don't want you to return by the way that you came. He said, I don't want you to take food while you're there. I don't want you to take drink while you're there. And I don't want you to return by the way that you came. Well, that old prophet, he left. And there was another prophet in Israel who heard about him and heard that the altar had been split in half and all this kind of stuff, and the ashes had been dumped out like the Lord had basically said was going to happen. And he told his son, he said, saddle my ass, and he said, I'm going to run and catch this guy. And he rode and caught him on his donkey. And when he caught him, he said to him, he says, I want you to come to my house. And the guy told him, no, the Lord told me to not go by the way that I had, not return by the way that I had come, not to eat or drink anything, you know, in this land, but to go on a different way, you know. And what ended up happening was, the old prophet says, well, thus saith the Lord, God told me to tell you to come to my house. And the first prophet said, well, if the Lord told you that, okay. And he went to his house. And he's sitting there at meat and having dinner with this guy. And as he's sitting there having dinner with this guy, the Spirit of the Lord moves upon the second prophet, the one who told him to come home, and says, "Thus saith the Lord, because you did not obey my word that I told you," he said, "you know, basically you're going to lose your life." And the old prophet gave the younger prophet, he gave him a donkey, and he went down the road, and a lion came up out of there and killed him. And the lion stood by his carcass, and the donkey stood by his carcass. And the old prophet heard about that, and he went, and he ended up gathering him up and putting him in his, and the lion didn't eat him, it just killed him, you know. And anyway, he took him and put him in his grave site, you know, that he had. They had caves back then and stuff that they'd put these people in. And he told his son, he said, "When I die, you make sure you put me in that same grave site." But the reason that I'm telling you this little story is because what Mark did was what God told him to do. And when God tells you to do something, do what he tells you to do. Don't deviate to the right. Don't deviate to the left. Do exactly what he tells you to do. Now, you know, so many times we have a tendency that we start trying to reason it away. And like Mark said, you know, he's thinking of all of the negative things that could have came out of this, you know. I mean, he could have ended up getting into a fight with this guy or whatever, you know. I mean, who knows, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, when God tells you to do something, do it. And do exactly what he tells you, and do it exactly the way he tells you to do it. And if he tells you to go and give somebody a word, go and give them the word. That word only. Don't try to add a little bit to it or make it a little sweeter than it's supposed to be or anything like that. You know, I've had people say to me, "Well, Brother Oscar, why don't you tell the people what they should be doing? You know, I mean, what exactly their calling is and stuff." And you know what my answer to that was? If the Lord tells me to, I will. But if he doesn't tell me to, I'm not going to prophesy to none of you guys unless God tells me to prophesy to you. You know what? Because I'm not going to take off to the right or take off to the left in that, because it would only create a mess. You know, we had a young man in the church years ago one time, and we had an old elderly man in our church that was very, very prolific in prophesying to people. And he prophesied to this young man, and this young man went off in the wrong way, in the wrong direction. And when he went off in the wrong direction, before it was all over with, his health was ruined, he lost his family, and everything else. And Clyde knows exactly who I'm talking about. I can see him shaking his head back there. And I'm not going to mention any names, but, you know, I knew this was happening too. But I'm going to tell you what, don't get your eyes on somebody else, what they do or what they tell you to do. Get your eyes on God and do what he tells you to do. Prophetic words or even words of encouragement that come from this pulpit up here are to encourage you. If they do not witness to you in the Lord, let them go. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this in a negative context of Brother Eddie. Brother Eddie used to say, put it on the shelf. I'm not going to tell you put it on the shelf. I'm going to tell you, let it go. If I say anything up here that does not witness to you, let it go. Because if it's of a God, he'll bring it back to you when the time's right. You know. And you know, it's one of those situations to where be obedient to whatever God has you do. That's all I'm going to tell you. And I'm always going to tell you that. And you know, some people might say to me, "Well, Brother Oscar, why don't you do this? Or why didn't you say that?" Or you know what? I'm going to tell you what I feel like God tells me to tell you. And what he doesn't tell me to tell you, I'm not going to say it. You know. And I will say this to you, and I might read this I've got up here because I think it's pretty good. But I want you to know that Mark was being obedient to what God told him to do. And it's not easy. It's not easy. I've been in that kind of situation too. When I first got saved, and I've shared this with you guys, when I first got saved, my brother and I, sitting right there, we used to drag race and we used to build our own engines and stuff when we did it. And, you know, we were putting a motor together, and I was working in a machine shop in Cincinnati Millicron. And we were going to check the deck heights on our pistons. And I took an indicator home from Millicron. And, you know, I first had the idea that I was going to take it back, just borrow it. Well, I kept it. And after a while, I ground the serial numbers off of it. I mean, I stole it. That's what it really amounted out to, see? And I got saved after that, later on. And my boss comes around and he says, Oscar, we're trying to figure out our tooling here and where everybody, all the tools are and who's got what and this and that. And he says, you only have one indicator, don't you? I had one sitting there on the table. And I said, yeah. And he turned around and walked off. And the Lord said, oh, no, you don't. You have two. And I'm going to tell you what, that I know exactly how he felt. That sinking feeling in my stomach, I thought, oh, no. What am I supposed to do? And I came home and I told Margaret, I said, the boss asked me about indicators, and I'd stole that indicator. And I said, I feel like I have to go back and tell him the truth. And she says, oh, but he might fire you. And this was one of the times when I didn't take her counsel. But she says, don't, you can't do that. I was the only one working. You know, she was home with the kids all the time. She says, you can't do that. I says, no. I said, I think I have to do that. And the Lord was really dealing with me strongly. And I went in the next day and I called the boss over and I said, yesterday you asked me, and I told him, I said, you asked me if I only had the one indicator. And I said, and I told you yes. And I said, that's not true. I actually had two. And I had brought the indicator back and I had it in my hand. And I said, I've got another one. And I said, I actually stole this. And he looked at me real funny. And I said, if you want to fire me, I said, you'd be perfectly justified and I won't have hard feelings towards you. And he looked at me and says, you didn't steal that, Oscar. I said, yeah, I did. I stole it. No, you didn't steal that. You just borrowed it. I said, no, I stole it. I mean, I'm stupid. I'm a young kid. I'm saying, no, I stole it. And I'm arguing with him about it, you know. And finally he says, Oscar, he says, we've all taken stuff out of here one time or another. He says, you didn't steal that indicator. You just borrowed it. And I said, well, no. I said, really, I stole it. I said, but if that's the way you feel about it, okay. I said, but I brought it back. And I said, I'm really sorry, and I want to apologize to you. I said, I'm a Christian now. I wasn't a Christian when I took it. And I said, when you said that to me, I said, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, oh, no, you got two. And I thought, oh, no. But folks, whatever God tells you, and sometimes he'll cause you to go and make something right. You know what I mean? And if he tells you to do it, do it. And I mean, if they had fired me, they'd have been justified and it would have been okay. But, you know, just like with Mark, how God's grace was right there, right over that situation. Back then, God's grace was right over that situation with me, you know. And just be obedient to whatever God tells you to do. And don't go beyond what he tells you to do. You know, go to that point and quit. I mean, do what he tells you to do and then leave it alone. Because a lot of times, if we're not careful, we have a tendency that we try to go a little farther than what God actually told us to go. But that thing with the disobedient prophet, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to scare you or anything like that in telling you that story. But he had somebody that he respected come to him and say to him, No, you're supposed to come to my house. And I'm going to feed you and all this and that. And you know what? He listened to the other guy. Listen to the voice of the Lord within you. Do what God tells you to do, how He tells you to do it, and when He tells you to do it. You won't always know all the nuances of what God's telling you to do. You won't always know that. And you won't always know what the outcome's going to be. But just do what God tells you to do. And you know, when I've had people come and tell me that they're going to leave this church or whatever, I don't try to get people to stay here. And that might seem funny because we don't have a real huge crowd here. I don't try to talk them out of it. But what I do say to them is be obedient to whatever God tells you to do. That's what I want you to do. And you know what? That's exactly what you need to do all the time. Just do whatever God tells you to do, okay? Well, praise the Lord. Well, I had a joke up here, and I don't know if I'll tell it to you or not. You want to hear my joke? Okay. All right, here's a joke here. Late one night, a man was driving down a road speeding. A police officer pulls him over, and the cop says to the man, "Are you aware how fast you were going?" The man replies, "Yes, I am. I'm trying to escape a robbery I got involved in. The cop gives him a skeptical look and says, "You were robbed?" The man casually replies, "No, I committed the robbery." The cop is shocked. "So you're telling me you were speeding and you committed a robbery?" "Yes," the man says calmly. "I have the loot in the back." The officer responds, "Sir, place your hands on the dashboard. I need your license and registration." He reaches in the window. Don't do that," the man yells fearfully. "You'll find the gun in my glove compartment." The cop withdraws his hand. "Wait here," he says. The cop calls for backup. Soon the police cars and helicopters and floodlights the area, and the man is cuffed quickly and taken to the police car. However, before he gets in, the cop walks up to him and says, while gesturing to the cops that pulled him over, "Sir, this officer informed us that you had committed robbery and had stolen loot in the trunk of your car and had a loaded gun in your glove compartment. However, we found none of these things in your car." The man replies, "Yep. And I'll bet that liar said I was speeding too." Children of this generation are wiser sometimes in their own time than the children of light. But I thought that was funny. Praise the Lord. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody has wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come into your presence right now. We thank you, Father, for the testimony we've received here today. I ask you, Lord, to just help us all to realize that we need to guard our tongue. We need to watch what we say because, you know, our words, they have power. They have power to kill and destroy, or they have power to bring life. And Father, let that sweet word of God come out of our mouth rather than words of accusing or words of even bringing people down, Lord. We all do that at times. We find ourselves complaining or grumbling and moaning about something. And Father, I just thank you for Mark's honesty today here. And, you know, if he only knew that even in Sunday school this morning that there was talk about how do you forgive somebody even when you don't like them, you know. And it fit in perfectly with what was said back there in Sunday school this morning, you know, because you don't have to like people, but you need to ask the Lord to let you love them. And if we'll ask God to let us be an expression of his love, and sometimes he might make you have to go back and apologize to somebody for things that you've said or things that you've done. But if he does that, that's okay. But if you'll just be obedient and do what he tells you to do, then the peaceful fruits of righteousness will flow out of your life into somebody else's life. And Father, I just thank you. I ask you to bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Go and have a wonderful day.